We'll take this under advisement and proceed to the sixth case, Antonio versus Holder, 13-1483. Is it... Matemo? Mr.
Matemo?
Matemo. Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Jeffrey Matemo on behalf of the petitioner, Axel Antonio. And from the outset here, what we are challenging is not, we are not challenging the merits of the final order of removal. But we are challenging the integrity of the process. Excuse me.
Would you like to get...
We are challenging the integrity of the process that resulted in that decision. This court, in the case of Kukana v. Mukasey, recognized that the importance of judicial review to protect the procedural fairness of the agency process. Now, the petitioner here requested for a second continuance before the immigration judge at Chicago to allow for the adjudication of the I-130 petition. And the immigration judge in Chicago denied the motion for continuance and at that point foreclosed his pursuit of a remedy that he was statutorily eligible for by being the spouse of a United States citizen. Now, the immigration judge, of course, has considerable discretion to grant a continuance for a good cause shown, but it is as long as he gives a reason for his decision, and this court has stated in Kama v. Holder that unless the decision would stand unless it was made without rational explanation or inexplicably departed from established policies. Now, this challenge here is based on an abuse of discretion by the immigration judge. If I can draw the attention of the court to page 10 of the short appendix that petitioner's short appendix. The immigration judge, that is the decision part, the last part of the immigration judge's decision, denying the motion for continuance. The immigration judge relied on the matter of Hashmi, that's a BIA matter. A BIA case, and say that he relied on five criteria that had been set out in that matter of Hashmi, and this criteria is not exhaustive. It's basically demonstrative, and one of the criteria to be considered is if the underlying petition, the basis for the motion for continuance, is prima facie approvable. Now, the petitioner is married to a United States citizen, and that makes an I-130 petition prima facie approvable just on statutory.
Right, but this is an unusual case because the first petition had been denied after the immigration authorities found no good faith basis for the marriage. And the second petition by Ms. Coley, is it, had indicated an intent to deny already. So that's this idea of prima facie validity of the petition is pretty tough to accept here. Do we know the current status of Ms. Coley's second petition now?
The second petition was denied.
Okay.
That was a pretty good prediction.
Where is the abuse of discretion here?
The abuse of discretion here is, just looking at the judge's decision, the judge had initially said that, he was willing to continue the case.
He gave Mr. Antonio 2 months.
That's correct, Judge.
Reluctantly, in return for an assurance that there would be no further requests for a continuance, right?
Yes, sir.
2 months later, nothing has happened, and there's another request for a continuance. How is it an abuse of discretion to say at that point, no? There's no good reason to think that Ms. Coley's second petition is going to be any more successful than the first.
Judge, those were the circumstances at that time. But the abuse of discretion is, this was just the second motion for continuance. And the judge had, you know, does not have jurisdiction to consider the merits or to make an adjudication of the I-130 petition. And it is not the petitioner's fault that the USCIS did not render a decision in a timely manner. So now they have denied it.
They've acted. They've denied. So would there be any point in a remand?
There would be a point in a remand because here what we are trying to protect is the procedure that led to the decision to, you know, because we do not know if the denial might have influenced the order of removal might have probably influenced the Department of Homeland Security, you know, to deny the I-130 petition. You know, that is something that it could be said to be speculative, but there's still that possibility. But we need to maintain the integrity of the procedure such that the public can have faith in the process of adjustment of status on immigration proceedings, because here it was clearly, the procedure was clearly, there were serious problems with the integrity of the procedure itself.
Mr. Matemu, with all respect, how would the public lose respect for the process from denial of a second motion to continue based upon a pending second request from a spouse whose first request was denied for lack of a good faith marriage and whose second request has been met with a preliminary indication of intent to deny?
Now, the first denial was basically for the reason that they did not provide sufficient evidence to prove the good faith of the marriage. The second,
I've read it. Yeah, okay. Mm.
The second one, a decision had not been reached. What had been issued was a notice of intention to deny. That is more like a request for further evidence because, they were doing it themselves. So it's like a request for further evidence. Like the Department of Homeland Security would be having some concerns or there's missing information or something they can do to address certain concerns or missing information or additional evidence that is needed to prove something. So it was not fair for the judge to conclude that just because there's a notice of intention to deny has been issued, that it would be automatically, the petition would be automatically denied. So I reserve the rest of my time.
All right, thank you. And again, Mr. Nelson.
May it please the court. First, I'd like to begin by thanking opposing counsel for his candor in sharing with the court that the second I-130 was also denied as of briefing. I don't believe that was the case. We didn't know that at that time. An immigration judge has broad discretion to grant or deny a request for continuance for good cause shown. Without belaboring the point, in this case, there had already been a denial of a I-130, and there had been a grant of a first continuance, and essentially what petitioner was asking for was an open-ended second continuance, which the judge said he was loath to grant when he granted the first one. What he had before him was the notice of intent to deny from USCIS, which I believe is about four or five pages, single space, not asking for more information, but summarizing the investigation and all of the problems with the bona fides of the marriage. So lastly, I would say that what the immigration judge does with regard to his removal proceedings doesn't foreclose his availability to pursue the I-130. I would say there's clearly no abuse of discretion here. To answer any questions or...
All right. I don't hear any. Thank you. And Mr. Matema, how much time remaining? 2 minutes.
Once more, I would like to make the point that immigration judge has no jurisdiction to determine the merits of an I-30 petition. Now, as regards the notice of intention to deny that had been granted, that had been issued by the Department of Homeland Security, counsels for the United States said that there was a long investigation report. Usually, that investigation report, when the notice of intention to deny is issued, it invites the petitioner to provide information that explains the issues that arose in the investigation or the concerns that the U.S. or the USCIS has. She did not get an opportunity. By the time the judge was issuing the order of removal, that had not happened. Now, finally, where there's abuse of discretion, the judge had actually said that he was granting. If you look at page 10 of the of the short appendix, the judge, in the last paragraph, the judge said the respondent has declined to request a voluntary departure. He expressly stated that he does not wish to waive appeal. He wants the case continued for a final decision on the visa petition. Of course, I'm willing to continue the case for that reason. Thus, no request for voluntary departure has been made. So at that point, and then the judge surprisingly just went forward and issued an order of removal after having indicated that you're going to, you know, that it was a, I believe, the judge believed that there was a good... A continuance was warranted for the purposes of the processing of the I-130. So, for those reasons...
So, did the immigration judge just contradict himself? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That's.
Or there's a knot that's missing in the transcript or something? Because everything else the immigration judge said was denial of continuance, order of removal, right?
Yes, the rest was in denial, but towards the end, it looks like the judge thought that it was warranted and surprisingly just turned around and said, okay, I'm issuing an order of removal.
Did you tell us about that in your brief?
I do not remember if I addressed that particular point there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.